To read together in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, please. And we are reading from verse 1 to 14. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, for all ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We know the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his word. The last two verses form our text. Verse 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The church in Colossae faced the onslaught of false teachers with their Christ-denying doctrines. Paul wrote this letter to uplift the Lord, to magnify him. He wrote to reassure the believers, to remind them of all that they possess in Christ, the one in whom they stood complete. Paul brought before the people the work of the cross, the blessings of God's salvation purchased through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. If the false teachers in Colossae hated the doctrine of salvation, denied the blood sacrifice to take away sin, today nothing has changed in that regard. Look at verse 14. If you were to have in your hand a new international version of the Bible, You would not be reading these words, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of sins. Why would you not be reading these words? They are deleted from the New International Version of the Bible. They are penknife. That is an unfaithful version of God's Word. And we praise the Lord that 400 years ago, on the 2nd of May, 400 years ago, the authorized version of the Scriptures was published in English. It is not an infallible version of God's Word in English. But we believe that it is as near and as perfect to the original as can be had. The translators of the authorized version were men of God, were men who loved the gospel, who loved redemption through the blood, who knew forgiveness of sins. And I'm glad that I have a Bible to preach from that exalts the blood of my Redeemer. These verses 13 and 14, they bring before us what the glorious gospel has accomplished for us as ruined sinners. And if there should be any hearing this message today, and you're in a perishing condition, or you can be brought from that perishing condition to where you are an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven, you can have here and now the knowledge of sins forgiven. Three things from this text. First of all, the peril of our state. Paul reminds these Christians of the perilous state they were in before they came to know the Lord. The verse 13 indicates that they were under the power of darkness. When the Lord sent out the apostles to the Gentiles, He sent them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We know that the Lord Himself came into the world to give light to them that sat in darkness. Oh, this is where our sins left us, under the power of darkness. What is the power of darkness? It has a power that tends to drowsiness. Darkness is an aid to sleep. If the husband is reading in bed with the light on, what an irritation that is to his wife. She will say, put the light out till I get to sleep. We sleep in the darkness. Darkness is conducive to sleep. And the Bible tells us they that sleep, sleep in the darkness. That's the proper, the most suitable time to sleep. And in the darkness of your natural condition, you are asleep. Asleep to your true condition before God. Careless about the well-being of your soul. Prepared to go on heedless, hearing the gospel, yet not hearing it through the saving of your soul living in a dreamland, assuring yourself that somehow you will hear heaven and escape the damnation of hell. The scriptures say, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." There is also a delusive power about darkness. In the Proverb 4 and verse 19, "The way of the wicked, we're taught, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." You stumble at the gospel. You have not trusted Christ, and you cannot give a logical, a sound reason why it is that you have not trusted Him. Oh, what darkness you're in. It is such that you will not come to the light. You prefer the darkness. You love it rather than the light. All other darkness gives way. It flees before the rays of light. But not the darkness of the natural heart. Oh, what a statement on your fallen, sinful nature. The light of Christ, of salvation, shines on your path. But you prefer your darkness, your sin, to the Savior. There is a power in darkness that is dangerous. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 35, "He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Darkness spells danger. In the darkness, you can see nothing. And in your spiritual darkness, you can see nothing of your peril, your danger as you walk along the precipice of a lost eternity. The Syrians who surrounded the city of Dothan, when smitten with blindness, They thought they were going to Dothan as conquerors, when the reality was altogether different. They were being led to Samaria and were at the mercy of their enemies. Oh, what danger there is in darkness. Here you are groping around in the darkness, seeking this and that pleasure, thinking that you have life to the full. The reality is you're facing awful danger. The danger of losing your soul. The danger of perishing. There is a power in darkness, the power of damnation. What is hell? It is the place of utter darkness. People say, as the seasons of the year change, and as the summer passes and winter sets in, and when we get to the end of August in our country, the days will be coming much shorter. The dark evenings will be setting in. And people will say, "I dread the dark nights." Oh, that you would fear the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. In Egypt, one of the plagues was darkness. It was a darkness that could be felt. But I ask you, what was that plague compared to the awful darkness of the caverns of the damned? Oh, what a perilous state to be under the power of spiritual darkness and to be bound for eternal darkness. Secondly, look at the privilege of the Lord's subjects. Paul can say in this 13th verse, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Paul reminds these believers in Colossae how they have been delivered from the power of darkness. The word delivered, it means to draw, to rescue. And this is what the Lord does in his matchless grace for sinners. He draws them, to himself. He receives, he saves sinners. He brings sinners out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And we see in verse 13 how Paul includes himself. He speaks of himself as one being delivered from the power of darkness. We know that under the power of darkness, this man, he made havoc of the church. He took both men and women, and he cast them into prison for no other reason than that they were Christians. He was there, Saul of Tarsus was there, when Stephen was being stoned to death. On Damascus Road, he was arrested, and he was drawn savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could write in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he could say that he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And then he says, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, he could look back to that day when he was drawn to Christ, delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, it's the grandest theme. Let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith. He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. Paul, in the second part of verse 13, he says that the Lord hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. To see the fullness of the deliverance, we need to grasp the meaning of the word translated. It occurs in other passages of the New Testament. For example, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, Paul, while preaching in Antioch, he surveys the pages of Israel's history, and he speaks of those days when Saul was removed as being king. Verse 22, "And when he had removed him, when the Lord had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king." When this verse speaks of Saul being removed from being king, the word removed means translated. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 26, Demetrius, the silversmith, he's bemoaning the fact that the gospel has turned away many from their idols. 19 verse 26. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying they be no gods which are made with hands. The freest turned away. That's the same as the word translated. So these people in Colossae, they knew what it was to be removed from the power of darkness, to be turned from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. You'll notice in the margin, against dear Son, the Son of His love. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hands. God the Father delights in the work of His Son, in His sufferings, in His one offering and sacrifice on the cross. It is as a sweet smelling savor to God the Father. Oh, what a privilege to be in the kingdom of His dear Son. Happy are the subjects of such a sovereign. The Queen of Sheba, when she went to see Solomon and his throne, his kingdom, she had this to say in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 8. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. In other words, she saw that those who were the subjects of Solomon, and even the servants of Solomon, that they were in a happy position being under such a sovereign. And thrice happy are those who are the subjects of the greater than Solomon. The kingdoms of this world, they rise and fall. But here is the everlasting kingdom. This is the kingdom that God in His wonderful grace brings guilty sinners into. He lifts them from the dunghill of sin and sets them among princes and makes them inheritors of the throne of His glory. Are you one of the Lord's subjects? Is He your King, King of righteousness, and King of peace? And notice thirdly and lastly, the power of salvation. Power of salvation is in redemption through the blood. We think of the person of redemption, the eternal Son of God laid aside the glory He had with the Father. He was made in our likeness. He became one near akin to us in order to be our Redeemer. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we read that He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, how amazing! What infinite love brought the one referred to as being great, the Son of the Highest, our great God. It brought Him from heaven's throne and glory to the cross of suffering and shame, to redeem our lives from destruction, from our sins. The person of redemption. Consider the purchase of redemption. Many think that they have to pay their way to heaven. They pay to have prayers said for them. They pay, supposedly, to have pardon of sin. The payment was made in full on the cross. How was redemption purchased? Not with corruptible things, as silver or gold, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord, when he shed his own blood, he made a perfect satisfaction to God's holiness and justice. He purchased our redemption. He paid for our sins' forgiveness in full in the pledge of his blood. And we see also in our text the procurement of redemption. What did it procure for us? The forgiveness of sins. The word forgiveness, it means to cancel or to send away. And that's what the Lord will do with your hell deserving sins. He will remove your transgressions from you when you repent and trust in his finished work. He will speak to your heart the word, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." In a cemetery in New York, there is a headstone, a nameless headstone. The person requested one word to be inscribed on it. But it was the all-important word, the word forgiven. That's the all-important to have your sins forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom we preach, He has power on earth to forgive sin. This very day, under the sign of God's word, may you seek at the nail-pierced hand of Christ, and through his own shed blood, the forgiveness of sin, so that you can say, "My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Oh, may you know the forgiveness of sins, peace with God through the blood of his cross. May the Lord bless his own word to every heart.